been fairly tough, but I recognise, Ian, that if you're in public life, then you get a certain amount of scrutiny, and so I've bared with the interest in my personal and private life and tried to deal with it as best I can.
You see, the problem is that your personal and private life has become a bit of a soap opera, hasn't it? And it started with Karen's selfies and all the rest of it, and it has gone on from there. You were even pictured out for a meal with your ex-wife and your then-girlfriend together. So do you not think that you're to blame for the fact that there is such media interest in you?
Well, what I don't do, Ian, is complain about the media interest in terms of what's gone on in my personal and private life. You know, the tabloids and others are welcome to, you know, try and dig around and find out what stories they can. I live a very transparent life, I suppose you might call it, a very open life. I'm in public life, that's the nature of where I am. And yes, people are interested to learn and read about it, which is fair enough, you know.
Now, you blame the fact that you were drunk, basically, for a lot of this sexting. Some people accept that, some people don't. How are you dealing with that issue?
Well, I think the point about alcohol has probably been overplayed. I think that's the reality of it. I had an exchange of messages over several months with this young woman, and at a particularly low point in September, whilst I were away on holiday, I was suffering depression, as I've talked about previously. You're right to say I was binge drinking, and on a couple of days during September, after she'd sent me flirtatious messages, I responded. And I shouldn't have done. That was inappropriate, and it's something for which I have apologised unreservedly for.
Have you done it before with anybody else?
No, certainly not.
I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, if you were a teacher or a police officer, you would not be allowed to continue in your job. Now, why is the job of a Member of Parliament different to those professions?
Well, there are differences, and there's no doubt about that. There are significant differences, and how all this came about is significantly different from a sort of teacher-pupil relationship. But what would happen with a teacher, as has happened with me, is that the teacher would be suspended, just like I've been suspended within the Labour Party, and there would be an investigation, just like there is with me. There is an investigation to see what went on.
Do you think there's a vendetta against you?
Well, I think it's interesting that I'm treated differently to what other MPs might be treated. So I draw this comparison between myself and Boris Johnson. He writes for the national media. I occasionally write for the national media. He has a fairly colourful personal life. I have what some might describe as a colourful personal life.
I don't think Boris Johnson has ever, it hasn't come to light that he's sexted a 17-year-old. I'm not sure making that comparison helps your case.
What you're being there, Ian, is very precise, and I'm making a more general point that because he's from a different class and he operates in a different world to a working class lad who happens to do politics in the north of England, I'm being treated differently to how he's being treated. And so, in answer to your question, is there a vendetta? I think there are people in the establishment who are unhappy about the issues I've raised around child sexual abuse, both historical and more recent. And I just wonder why some elements of the media have decided to go for me quite as strongly.
So are you saying that parts of the establishment are trying to get their own back on you, part of the Labour establishment?
Well, in terms of the Labour establishment, we've seen some of the comments that have been made by Ken Livingstone. I mean, it's no secret that he's not my number one fan. He doesn't like my politics. You can hear the axe grinding a mile away when Ken's speaking about me.
But he's on the National Executive, and he will have an influence over your ultimate fate, won't he?
Well, that's why I've written to the General Secretary of the Labour Party to say that it would be wholly inappropriate for Ken Livingstone to play any part in that investigation, because he's already made it clear that he's got concerns about what I've been involved in. Indeed, I think he wants to stick the knife in and use this investigation as an opportunity to keep me out of the Labour Party.
What about momentum? There are also rumours that, I mean, some people are saying that you've been the victim of a setup. Let's cut to the chase. Do you think you have at all?
Well, I think it'll all come out in the wash. I think it's too early to say.
Well, you're not ruling it out, then?
No, I'm certainly not ruling it out. I think the way that this story has developed, the way the investigation is being run, the way in which Ken Livingstone has made the comments that he has, I think are wholly inappropriate. And I think what we don't want is to see a kangaroo court. What we want is a fair, objective investigation into what has happened, so that they can reach the conclusion, the sensible conclusion, which I believe is that I should remain a member of the Labour Party.
Now, Brooks Newmark, the Conservative MP, he resigned his seat when he sent a naked selfie of himself to a woman who actually turned out to be a male journalist. I mean, there are elements of similarity here. Shouldn't you follow his lead?
No, I don't think there are any comparisons in terms of what he was doing compared to what I did. Listen, in the history of parliamentary sex scandals, this will be a footnote, if that.
How do you feel you've been treated by the Mail on Sunday and The Sun? Because they're two papers who've published weekly articles by you over the last 6 months or so, mainly critical of Jeremy Corbyn. And they've obviously cultivated you as one of their commentators, and yet they're the two newspapers that have essentially turned on you.
Well, I wouldn't see it like that. I mean, you know as well as I do, Ian, that tabloid newspapers go after the story. And if they think there is a story, irrespective of what relations are with individual members of parliament or celebrities or anybody else, they will print that story. And that's exactly what they've done, and I understand that.
What do you say to my listeners who will no doubt be phoning me up, as they have done to other programmes today, saying that MPs have to lead by example, they have to be whiter than white, and if they're caught out in any way, they should stand down?
Well, I would say to those listeners that what we want in Parliament are real MPs. That's what they would say as well. They want ordinary people to be members of Parliament. That's what I am, an ordinary guy who happens to do politics. Now, they can't have it both ways. They can't have, you know, sort of robots that just perform and ask questions in a, you know, in a certain way. If you want real people doing politics, then you have to put up with their foibles. And that's the case with me. I have a relatively colourful personal life, but that doesn't detract from the hard work that I do as an MP, the campaigning work that I do, the work that I do on behalf of Rochdale residents.
Will you be taking legal action against your first wife for what she said about you in the Mail on Sunday yesterday?
I already instructed solicitors to communicate with the Mail on Sunday, and they had to tone the story down before it was actually published. But I'll be consulting again with those solicitors about what has been printed, because some of the allegations are wholly untrue.
Do you feel betrayed by her, or is that what you've come to expect?
It's what I've come to expect. She's been sniping and bitter about the relationship ever since we split up some nearly 10 years ago. And I think it's unfortunate, not just for her, because she's carrying that burden, but also, most importantly, for our children. It's very sad.
And do you deny all of the allegations, or just some of them?
Well, we'd have to go through it by the letter, but I did certainly deny some of the more serious allegations. There's no doubt about that.
You see, I think a lot of people who will have read the papers and seen this all reported, they will have come to the conclusion that Rochdale has an MP who is borderline alcoholic, who has issues with depression, and they will question his fitness to continue in the job. Do you understand why people might think that?
I don't think people are reaching that conclusion. I spent 2 hours going round Rochdale today speaking to local residents. Some of them told me off, said I've been foolish, said I've been daft. But all of them to a person, said they believed I was good for Rochdale. They believed I worked hard for Rochdale. And they believed that I should continue as their Member of Parliament.
You mentioned your children. How have you explained all of this to them?
Well, my two youngest children are probably too young, 5 and 7, to understand exactly what's going on in terms of this story.
But that, they will hear it from kids in the playground, won't they?
Well, possibly, but you know, I have more concern for my 13 and 18-year-olds from my first marriage, and I think what Sonia did in terms of painting the picture that she did do in the Mail on Sunday, I think is unfortunate, to say the least. I think she should have been much more careful in terms of creating the misery that she has created for them over the last few days.
Have you thought about what you might do if the National Executive does actually throw you out of the Labour Party, preventing you from standing for re-election in 2020?
Well, I'm quietly confident that the National Executive Committee will reach the sensible conclusion that I should remain a member of the Labour Party when they see the evidence, when they see the facts, when they understand what's gone on. I do not believe they can reach any other conclusion than say that I will remain a...